31. We're going to pick up just a few verses, 16 through 17, as we talk about this and talk about the idea of motherhood. And we talk about the idea of all the joys and wonders of what motherhood is, all the hopes and dreams, the realities along the way. I always feel so unqualified to speak about motherhood because I have never been a mother. And as much as I like to remind my wife, you know, when my children were born, I was there. You know, so I deserve some credit for all of that. And I won't tell you what my wife tells me when I say that. But we are wired different. You know, throughout the years as a father and what I allow and what I permit and what my wife allows and permits, we're not always on the same page. I'm much more of, oh, let her do it. My wife's like, well, wait a minute, whoa. Let's be a little cautious here. But the scripture talks about the wide range of mothers. And actually, you start going through and looking at what the Bible talks about mothers. It just, you know, like I said, I was preparing this and just so many things come in here. So we're just touching on this a little bit, talking about the idea of what motherhood is. And from the get-go, that when a woman discovers that she is pregnant, she instinctively is a mom. Psalm tells us, it says, you formed my inner parts and covered me in my mother's womb. That from the get-go of what you eat affects. When my wife was first pregnant, when we used to go to this little Chinese place, it was really good. And really inexpensive, so we would try to go there as often as we could. And I was sitting in there, and I got our typical food, and all of a sudden, about the food came, sat down, and I was like, I can't smell this. Get this away from me. And I'm like, what are we supposed to do? Well, let's eat it. And from then on, of what you do and what you go and what you consume and all these things affect the child. We see this protective quality taking place, this wonder of motherhood. You know, in a world today that argues about, you know, whether it's a baby or it's a clump of cells and just really just diminishing even those first 9 years of life in the womb. Something that as a man, I have no idea, no concept to. I remember coming home and my wife would be in bed. I was working night shift and I'd come into bed and I would poke the belly and the baby would kick. And I'd poke the belly and the baby would kick. And I'd get an elbow. She goes, I'm trying to sleep. And I'm like, I'm trying to play with my child. That's probably the extent of it. But how life all changed in the idea of motherhood. The Bible really elevates this role. Proverbs warns us. It says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. We see this is picked up. It says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long on the land which the Lord your God has given you. This idea of honoring and respecting, of giving due diligence, the one we call mom. And it never goes away. We talk about the idea of motherhood, and how many of you are praying for your adult children? Talk about the heart of a mother. Actually, in Jeremiah chapter 31, we're going to actually back up to verse 15. It says, thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, a lamentations and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. In Jeremiah, Israel had been taken away captive. That in there, because of their sin, they're taken from the land that God had promised them. And Bible study, we talked about how many times that Israel's blessing is tied with the land. And yet they were stubborn and disobedient. And God gave them over to another nation, the Babylonians, who carried them away. And this is, cry goes out of Rachel representing, the mother of Israel, if you will, that here her children were disobedient and now were reaping what they had sown. It talks about her not being comforted at all. And we talk about the heart of a mother of praying for your children. I remember I was in Bible school and I was pretty independent. I was a young man now. I wasn't married yet, and I was talking to my mom, and she'd go over and, "How you doing? Are you doing okay? Are you eating enough? Are you, I would go through all, and I remember one time I was just sort of exasperated. I was like, "Mom, I'm a man now. How long are you going to worry over me?" And she goes, "Son, you will always be my child." The idea of motherhood is a starting point in the womb, but it goes on as long as you have breath. Actually, we pull up this cry. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who slew the prophets." Jesus is looking over Jerusalem. Same thing. Israel had rejected their Savior. And in here, sin had crept in. And as the mother's heart, Jesus ties into that, right? He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those who had sent her, how often I wanted to gather her children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." A mother's heart wants to gather up her children to protect them from the woes of this world and even sometimes the consequences of their sin. Over the years I've heard many a father say, they made their bed, let them lie in it. Give them some rope and they'll hang themselves. That's kind of a dad's thing. I've never heard a mom say that. A mother's heart wants to protect. I mean, how many of you would want to gather up your children right now and tell them it's going to be okay? Tell them to change directions? How often do you stay up at night and you wonder and struggle and all those things? That's a mother's heart. I'm going to pull up an example of a few moms as we go through all this. Bathsheba was the wife of King David. And you got probably the most famous stories when David saw her and when she was married to someone else. He slept with her and she became pregnant, and David did this whole thing to hide it. And the baby was born and ended up dying. But David brought her in and married her, and through this, Solomon was born. And Nathan is the prophet at this time. David is close to death. And one of David's other sons, Adonijah, is trying to take over the throne. And Bathsheba knows Solomon is supposed to be the one. And we see this reaction of a mom, right? Of protecting my boy. My boy is supposed to be king. And this other is trying to take her place. And almost that mama bear comes in. Now, mama bear is a real thing. I like to think I'm the big tough guy in the family, but man, you mess with my kids, watch out for mama. And this scene plays out. And Bathsheba goes to David and changes his heart and brings this up. And later on in that chapter it says, "And King David answered and said, 'Call Bathsheba to me.' So she came to the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king took an oath and says, 'As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel, saying, surely Solomon your son shall be king after me. He shall sit on my throne and in my place.'" That Bathsheba was going to bat for her son to make sure he got what was promised, what was deserved. And we see this only as a mom could. part of that mom's heart. Mom's heart is exemplified in a case that went before Solomon. That there were two women, and as they were living together, they each had a child, and one of the children died, and the other swapped out and claimed a child. And in there, these mothers came before, and one says, "Hey, it's my child." The other said, "No, no, no, it's my child." And King Solomon does an odd thing. He says, then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, "Divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. Kill the child. They both want to cut in half." And then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, "Oh Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him." Right? The mother would rather have the child be raised by someone else than some harm come to him. That's a mom's heart. How many cold meals does a mother eat? How many times does she do without to make sure that her child is taken care of? This is wired in them. And sometimes that compassion and that heart as a mom can be a good thing. It can also lead to doing things sometimes mamas shouldn't do. As over the years, I've seen a mom's heart be used to cover up sin, to protect the child from the consequences of what's going on in their life. When we were in Bible school, we had a teacher, Mrs. DeStaffen, and she talked about her son went off into the Marines, went down to boot camp. And so she thought she would help out, so she wrote a letter to the commander down there and says, "Look, I just want you to know, Bobby's a very sensitive boy. Could you please make it? He puts his sunscreen on and make sure that he doesn't eat too late at night because it upsets his stomach." Well, the commander down there got this letter and decided to share it with the rest of the barracks. So little Bobby, all of a sudden, now the whole barracks knew him as Bobby. And all of a sudden, little Bobby now called his mom and said, "Mom, please, don't say anything. You know, let me just deal with this." Well, Mama was very upset, and she thought her son was being picked on, so she wrote another letter to the commander and said, "I don't know who you think you are, but Bobby is my son. And he's so upset that he's crying at night, and he finds it very distracting, all the things that you're causing him to do." So the commander got this letter and decided, well, you know, lined everyone up and said, "You know, Bobby is, Mom is very concerned over him, and he's overexhausted and he's tired. And so all of you, Bobby, you just sit in this little chair here, and all everyone else is going to do little Bobby's work, little baby Bobby's." And once again, the roll back and forth. Meanwhile, here we are in Bible school, and the mom's explaining all these things. He goes, "I don't understand why Bobby's getting mad at me." Because the mom's heart can overstep. It can step in and sometimes enable. One of the famous cases, I think, is Rebecca, who loved and had a favorite. It was little Jacob. And Isaac had a favorite, and when families have favorites in families, it doesn't work out well. And Isaac was going to pass on the blessing to Esau, and Rebekah heard this, and she came up with a plan. It says, now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, go out and get some food and come back." And Rebekah had a scheme. Her protectiveness of her son led her into a bad place and said, "Look, here's some stew. You go in, we'll trick your dad." And Jacob was like, "I don't know about this, Mom." And this is Mom here. But his mom said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." We talk about a mother's heart. It can be outpouring. It can be good. It can be encouraging. That in here we see a love of a mom poured into a life. You know, you've heard it saying, you know, that's a face only a mama could love. But we see that heart can be led to a place where it's not good. The kindness of a mom can be led into a place where things are enabled and allowed and overlooked when they should be addressed. But that's a mom's heart. But the Bible also talks about much about a mom's hurt. At this point, you're probably saying, this isn't a wonderful Mother's Day. But I think it's important to realize, you know, as we get older in life and the scene changes from raising our little ones, that all of a sudden now our children grow up. Now we still have one at home and we have one out of the home. And I'm going to say this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when they're home, it's a whole lot easier. When our children are older and making their own decisions and making their own choices. And sometimes as a parent, you're on the outside and your heart breaks for what they're doing. The mom's heart doesn't turn off in all those things. And over the years, I've had so many moms praying and crying over their adult children. As Rachel was weeping over her children, so many times moms weep as well. And this can take on different forms. It's interesting in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah is talking about Israel being taken over, and he uses that illustration of a mom's heart of Rachel's weeping. Matthew chapter 2, Matthew uses this same picture and brings it down to the events of his day. And when Jesus was born, you remember the wise men came and God warned the wise men. They went home a different way, and Herod wanted to take out Jesus. So he sent a troop down to Bethlehem and had all the children killed that were two and under. This is then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. And that was fulfilled as spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And moms, I want to give you an understanding that this world can hurt your children. We see in this case that these innocent children, because of an angry king who was determined to lash out, didn't care, and he hurt. And imagine the wailing in Bethlehem of all the moms whose hearts were breaking because their children were taken, not because of anything they had done, but because this world can be an unfair place. Things happen. Tragedy can be around the corner. And God wants to tell you, He understands. He understands your weeping. Mary was warned, the mother of Jesus. And we talk about the first Christmas when the baby was born, and Mary took all these things and hid them in her heart, right? Imagine all these things, the hope that she had and the joy of this little baby, this new little life. And they brought him to the temple to dedicate him, and it says, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be broken against, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. It says, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul. How many moms, and maybe you, raising your children. And the joys, yes, right? The destiny of all this is wonderful and great. You see them growing and becoming what God has designed them to be. But boys, along the way, how many times have your heart been pierced? I remember when I was younger, a teenager. I know you all think that I was probably just always this wonderful, perfect person that you see before you. I had a rebellious streak. And my attitude kind of was, well, if my parents accuse me of something, I might as well do it. Plug your ears, Lauren. All right. That's not a good way to live. You know, I was like, I'll show you. And so many times I'd come home at night, past my curfew, doing things I wasn't supposed to do. To have me met at the door by my mom with tears in her eyes. Because I was breaking her heart. And I was smug and I was like, well, I didn't care. And how wish I could go back in time and smack that smug little look off my face. A mother's heart is filled with so many heartaches. Or as the scripture says, a sword will pierce through her own soul as a mother weeps. Sometimes it's the choices that our children make. Samson. We had a couple that were unable to have children, Manoah and his wife, and the Lord appeared to them and said, you're going to have a son. And he's going to be special, and God's going to use him. And she was excited to have this child and raise him in the right way. And all indications be that they did. They raised him in a good, godly home. Right? We want to always kind of look at what's going on with their children and blame them parents, right? Oh, what did your mom do, right? And oftentimes parents want to take their blame upon themselves. But sometimes we just need to realize that our children are independent and they're little sinners or big sinners. And they're making their own choices. You can have 3-4 children all raised in a home and each one make different choices. So Samson grew up. You always think of Samson as the judge who was the hero who delivered. But Samson was a messed up guy. And his decisions broke his mom's heart. So here, Samson is older now. We get into chapter 14 of Judges. And so he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman of Timnah, of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Right? The Jews were supposed to marry the Jews. The Philistines were off limit. But Samson wanted what Samson wanted. Samson had a woman problem. That Samson's heart wanted what Samson's heart wanted. And look what his parents said. Look, and then his father and mother said to him, is no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people? Then you must go get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines. Right? Marry the right woman. Make the right choice. We've raised you in all these things. Right? You know what's right and you know what's wrong. Please do what's right. And Samson refused. And Samson's life is riddled with the tragedies of making wrong choices by wrong choices. And oh, it broke his mom's heart. A mom's hurt. As I mentioned earlier in the announcements, there are a few things as sad as a parent outliving its child. And we see this in the book of Luke. And it talks about Jesus. And when he came near the gates of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, and the only son of his mother, who was a widow. And a large crowd of the city was with her, and then the Lord saw her. He had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. And we have the case where Jesus raises this young man back from the dead. It's funny, because reading this for years, you know, I was thinking this was just a little child, you know. Here's the mother weeping over the death of her young child. And we understand that. You know, my wife and I have 2 children in heaven. who never had the opportunity to see the daylight of this world. And I look forward to seeing them. I have no biblical proof of this. But I hope there's like a little nursery in heaven, you know, that I'll be able to hold these little babies just for a little while. Now, I don't want to be babies for all eternity. I'll let them grow up, but Lord, you know, I would just love just a few minutes just to hold. And so reading this, I always kind of read that into it. But notice what it says here. Behold, it was a dead man. This was an adult child. And the mom's heart was breaking. Already this morning we prayed for those who have lost children, adult children. It doesn't make it easier. And some of you testify of that fact, that you've had adult children who have died before you. Because how long are you a mom? You're a mom forever. And the passage of time does not make it easier. But we see this, that God knows and leans near. We have Hagar. I'm going to run out of time this morning. But Hagar. Hagar was one that got caught up in the events, right? Abraham and Sarah couldn't have kids. And so Sarah was desperate and said, hey, take my handmaiden. You go into with her and have a child. And then that will be the child of blessing, which wasn't God's plan. But Hagar became pregnant and gave birth to Ishmael. And Hagar ran off. And as she ran off, she had her child with her. And things got hot. They're out in the desert. And things didn't look good. And because of those circumstances, that she was beyond herself. She had no means. She had no home. She couldn't provide for this little child. And this child was dying. And we bring in, it says, and the water in the skin was used up. And she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance at a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of my boy. So she sat opposite him, lifted her voice and wept. The story goes on that God heard her cry and met her need. But sometimes the circumstances, my heart goes out. I think of these single moms. Sometimes unfeathered by her circumstances, who come to the end of themselves, who are doing all they can for their children, who are struggling and trying to do the best they can. But at the end of the day, it seems like it's not enough. A mom's hurt. And God hears those cries. And He draws near. I got one more. Talking about the mom's hurt. And Jesus was sitting at a dinner and this woman came in. And she was a Canaanite, right? She was a Gentile. And the Jews were supposed to have nothing to do with her. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. The Bible says he did not answer her. And disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. And then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Her child was ill, was afflicted. Lord, help. You are the only one who can. And Jesus goes on and says, you know, I'm here for Israel, not for the Gentiles. And she begs and she goes, yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She's like, Lord, she's not giving up. Right? A mother's prayers are always before for her children, aren't they? They don't give up. I've seen so many dads who are willing to write off their children, but a mom's heart as she hurts and she prays for her children. And as Christian moms who pray day and night that your children will come back to the Lord. They may be successful in the things of this world. They may be doing well in so many different ways, but you know that without the Lord, it's all empty, and you pray that those will come back. And Jesus answered and said, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desired." And her daughter was healed that very hour. The mom's prayer doesn't give up. Don't give up praying for your children. The Lord hears those cries. So we talk about a mother's heart. We talk about a mother's hurt. But we talk about a mother's hope. Jeremiah 31. Remember, we talk about Rachel's weeping. She finds no comfort in this. But verse 17 gives us this hope. It says, "Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. And they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own border." As a mom cries and pleads for her children to the Lord says what? Your work will be rewarded. Mom, if you've been faithful and you instilled it in them, the Lord hears these things. I want to give you just a few verses to encourage you along the way. One, you number my wanderings, you put my tears in your bottle, and they're not in your book. I love this verse. Every tear that you've cried, the Lord has seen. I love that imagery, he collects them in a bottle. Are they written in the book? The Lord knows and remembers. He hears and he is working. Psalm tells us, "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." Mama, I want to give you hope in your situation. You know, I always find it interesting that all those things that you have done is in there somewhere. It's in there somewhere. "I was this train of a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Right? You've trained them. The lessons you've taught them, the time you brought them to church, right? The time you shared the gospel with them. The time you wiped off their knee and kissed their boo-boo. That is all in there somewhere. You know, I know as a rebellious teen, I blew that all off. Now as an old man, I reflect back and remember all those things. "Yeah, Nancy, when you get my age, you'll understand." She's like, "Old man." Right? He's old too. But right, there's regrets that we have. Mom, you've done a good job. You instilled it in their heart. And now they have those choices of what to do. But don't give up praying. Don't give up hope, as a mom can only do that. Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith. And in the Hall of Faith, it talks about these great heroes of the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Gideon, Samson. Right? All these great heroes of the faith. And in the middle of all this, he wraps this up, this conclusion, and talks about kind of the loose ends. Talk about those who are nameless, but who have held the faith. Notice what it says here. Verse 33 says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quench the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, and turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. All these great accomplishments that all these ones in the scripture did. But notice how he wraps this up. This is women who received their dead raised back to life again. These were the mamas who didn't give up hope, who are continually bringing their children before the Lord. And it says what? They'll receive their children again. Don't give up praying. We talk about Rachel's weeping. We talk about the tears that are along the way. I don't have a solution to make it all go away. But I want to reassure you, God hears your prayers. Moms, God cares. Turn them over to the Lord. Bring them before the throne. And let God have His perfect work in their lives. If you have been faithful, if you have been diligent, it's in there. And pray that the Lord will turn them around. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for a mother's heart. Truly, it's a wonderful design from you, Lord. It's filled with compassion and love and earnest and faith. Lord, I pray for the mothers today who are here, Lord. Some of them have suffered loss. Lord, I pray you comfort them. Wrap your arms around them. Lord, we have mothers whose children are on the wrong path. And they pray day and night, Lord. I thank you that you hear those prayers and you are working. Lord, we pray for their children that they will turn and do what is right. Bring to remembrance those things that were placed into their hearts. That when they are old, they won't depart from it, Lord. Bring them back to your way. Lord, I can't think of any other joy that a mom would have to know that her children are living for you. Lord, I pray today that that will find fulfillment in some lives. Lord, we thank you for the moms who celebrate their families, Lord. Their children are doing well, Lord. That we see that reward of those years and tireless nights invested. Lord, I pray today that all of us will stop and reflect, be thankful for the moms, the stepmoms, those that play that role in our lives, Lord. It is truly a gift from you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.